Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I'd like a hot dog all the way, please.
Coming up. Here you go.
Thank you. Ew. What is this?
That's a corn-based hot dog-flavored tube-shaped thing. It's almost good. That'll be $4.50.
You know what? No thanks.
If almost good enough isn't good enough for you, why would it be good enough for your pet? Add Kennel Kelp to your furry friend's diet. Sprinkled on your pet's food, Kennel Kelp helps with arthritis pain and stiff joints. It can also reduce shedding, fill in missing areas, and improve their looks. Healthy pets show even more energy and have better attitudes. See results in 4 to 8 weeks. The good news is, Kennel Kelp isn't just for pets. It's good for you, too. Sprinkle it on your cereal, or use it instead of table salt when seasoning your food. Kennel Kelp is the holistic care solution for pets and their people. Safe for dogs, cats, birds, cows, chickens, reptiles, almost anything that walks, flies, or slithers. It's a holistic health solution for humans, too. To learn about their many products, visit KennelKelp.com. Get Kennel Kelp for a happier, healthier life.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of the DA's Sales Kennel Kelp Holistic Healing Hour with your host and moderator, me, Grandpa Bill. Some of you via our invitation, where applicable, my two church mice, Peter and Paul, each and every day. Y'all, one and all, by continuing to pay it forward, we are growing exponentially in that regard. We appreciate that. Continue to do so. We're going to segue right in. I'm going to have the pleasure of welcoming back Byron Athene for the eighth time, and we just kind of had a little anniversary date, maybe 10 days ago, celebrating our very first show. It's hard to believe, a year ago. So happy anniversary to Byron. Welcome, Byron. He's going to be here for the better part of 45 minutes, and he's going to tell us about A, B, and Z mindsets. And a quick reference for one and all that might not know him yet, please do check out his website. Do that anyway, ByronAthene.com, and make sure you definitely check out the About Us page to boom right up on his many credentials, 30 years and counting in practice. Byron, my friend, it seems like we haven't talked forever, even though it hasn't been that long. Welcome back. Take it away. Welcome, and thanks for joining us again this evening.
Oh, thanks, Bill. As always, it's really great to be here. So, yeah, third time lucky, because we were gonna meet up a couple of weeks ago. Then there was some sort of mishap around
If we were playing baseball, we'd be just fine. But here we are. Yeah. Continue.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, last week was our first year anniversary, so it would have been good. But yeah, these things happen. So it's good to be here for my eighth appearance. And like you pointed out, I'm gonna explain the A, B, and Z mindsets, as they will help us manage our emotions a lot better. So if I'm able to dive in fact, well, I'll briefly talk about my book, the book that I'm writing. So it's called Algorithm. It's almost finished. So in saying that, it's almost been finished for about a year and a half now. But I think it's very, very nearly finished. I think the way it reads now is pretty much how I think it's going to read when it is actually finished. But I'm just putting a few sort of finishing touches to it. So it's called Algorithm, like I said, because it makes reference to the idea that our brains are computers, and computers need algorithms that are programs that solve problems. And because of operant conditioning and classical conditioning, we often use algorithms that other people have put in place, as opposed to the more healthy and helpful ones that we could actually put in place and oversee. And one of them is the rule for happiness. And some people don't think that happiness can be defined in that way. Like it's far too complex to be spoken about in rules and laws. Baby theory is true. There's a really simple rule to happiness. We are generally happy when things go our own way. We are unhappy when things don't go our own way, because expressing that unhappiness when we were babies is to prompt someone to intervene and make things how we want them to be. And that's an algorithm that's still very much running in us, because it's deeply subconscious. It's a deeply entrenched, deeply embedded subconscious process. So I was thinking about, well, how to simplify this whole happiness thing. And I think the A, B, mindset and the Zen mindset starts to do that. So, okay, let's say that there are rules to happiness. Happiness doesn't just happen randomly. There are rules. And these rules are subconscious, so they're pretty much invisible to the naked conscious eye. I had a conversation recently with one of my clients who blatantly disagreed with the idea. She believed it sounded like I was like oversimplifying a process, but I don't think I am oversimplifying a process. I think I'm addressing the possibility that we've grossly overcomplicated the process instead. So this is my attempt to just show how simple the process really, really is. So I say that there is a simple law or rule to happiness, and these rules or laws can be inhabited with certain different mindsets. There's the AB mindset or the Z mindset. The more sensible or useful mindset is the AB one. That is, I have A is enough, but I want B because I think B would be a pleasant addition. So that's happy already because I have A, but I want B because I think I will be happier with B. That's the more sensible mindset. The other mindset, the less sensible one or the less helpful or healthy one, is the Z mindset. That is, I need Z to be happy. So I need Z to be happy. And A, B, and Z, they can be anything. Any object, any ideal, any value, just anything. So I need Z to be happy. If someone is feeling bad, negative, or unhappy, they're clearly holding on to the belief that they need Z to be happy, and they think that they don't have Z. So that's again, a really simple rule of happiness. That's their rule of happiness. I need Z to be happy. They don't have Z, so it follows that they're going to be unhappy. But there are a couple of problems with this mindset. The first one is, we didn't start off with a Z mindset. We started off with, I have A, and A is enough, but I want B to be happy. But then you got B, but then you realize that A and B wasn't enough. So then it's a case of you had A and B, I have A and B, it's not enough, I need C to be happy. Then you may get C, you're happy for a while, but then you become complacent or you get too used to the idea. So you have A, B, and C, that's not enough, I need D to be happy. Then you may get D, you're happy for a while, you become complacent, then you see C, and then it's I have A to D, that's not enough, I need E to be happy. So this process happens all the way until you get to Z. So that kind of proves that the mindset isn't a healthy one, because we should have observed that this process wasn't working by the time you got to E or F. By the time you got to E or F, we should have thought, well, I need F to be happy. Oh, wait, hold on. I said that about B, C, D, and E. And if it wasn't true then, why would it be true about F? But we don't even catch ourselves on the way to Z. So by the time we get to Z, we wholeheartedly believe that we need Z to be happy. But the interesting thing is, when we get to Z the first time, we're happy for a while, but then that Z becomes incorporated into the A to Y. So then it's... I had Z, but now it's A to Y, and I need Z to be happy. So that Z that you get is assimilated, and that leaves room for another Z. So that I think indicates that we're never going to be truly consistently happy if we have the Z mindset, because there's always going to be another Z that you think you need to be happy. So that's one way that the Z mindset isn't healthy or isn't sustainable. So another reason why the Z mindset isn't healthy or helpful is that it produces self-defeating or even self-destructive behavior in our attempt to get Z. So the first way it's self-defeating or self-destructive is that we sometimes ignore the fact that we have A to Y in our pursuit of Z. So we don't think about what we have already. Then Another way it's self-defeating or self-destructive is that we sometimes devalue A to Y. So we acknowledge that we have A to Y, but we don't think it's as important as the Z that we don't have. Then in worst case scenarios, it's self-destructive because sometimes we destroy A to Y in the pursuit of Z. An example I often talk about to describe this is being in a relationship with someone and they do something that you don't like, or they don't do something that you want them to do, and then you end a relationship because of it. Now, I'm sure often when that happens, the person who ends the relationship then has time to reflect, realize what they've done, realize what they've lost, and then they realize that they've lost the A to Y, then they try to get back with the partner, and I'm sure sometimes that doesn't work because the trust has been broken. So they've destroyed A to Y in the pursuit of Z. So another reason why this Z mindset isn't healthy or helpful is that the neurophysiological effects of a desire are different to the neurophysiological effects of a need. So that means our brain chemistry changes when we think we need something compared to when we think we want something. So if you want something, believe it or not, you are more likely to act in a way that increases the chances of getting that thing that you want. But if you think you need something, you may be more likely to act in a way that decreases the chances of securing that thing because of the pressure you may be putting on yourself, or the stress you may feel, or other physiological effects. So ironically enough, the more important you think that thing is, sometimes the less likely you'll get it. So yeah, that's another kind of ironic way that the Z mindset isn't as good as the AB mindset. So another way the Z mindset is unhealthy or not unhelpful, I know there's quite a few. Second to last one. So you saying that you need something to be happy doesn't actually make sense, because happiness isn't based on your needs being met. Happiness is based on your desires being met. So comfort's based on needs, comfort and survival is based on needs, and pleasure and desire is based on your wants. So you saying you need something to be happy doesn't even really make sense. The only way that would make sense is if you say that you need to have your desires met to be happy. That sounds convoluted. So the final way the Z mindset is unhelpful, unhealthy, is that with the AB mindset, you're probably going to see a lot less problems and you're going to deal with those problems a lot easier. With the Z mindset, you're probably going to see a lot more problems and you won't be able to solve those problems nearly as easily, again, because of the resources and because of the pressure you're putting yourself in, because of the stress you feel and other problems. So the bottom line is, when you feel bad about things, try to pause and catch yourself in that Z mindset moment. The quicker you catch it, the quicker it will shift. So you don't need Z to be happy. You want B because you think you'll be happier. So that's a general overview. Any questions so far?
Well, you know, you've obviously been doing this for a couple of days. So like early in your career, and, you know, however you wanted to divide that up, probably an obvious question, but do you find that with the more rapid onset of all of this information and input, be it good, bad, or indifferent, all of the above, let's say even over the last 8 to 10 years, is that like a built-in cycle? That's the loop that maybe precipitates not getting by the A and B maybe as rapidly as folks did years ago, or you can't disseminate it that black and whitely, if that makes sense.
Well, no, I'm not actually sure, because I suppose this is the way I'm framing this now. This is a relatively new idea that I've had. Maybe this is something I've been in some way carrying around, but this is the first time. Well, I think I first formalized this actual framework about 5-6 months ago. So maybe I was already doing this in a certain way. But then when I started to work with clients more, more kind of impactfully in a shorter time frame, I thought, no, I need a way of simplifying this and showing it to someone. And so the A, B, and Z mindset was born from that.
Are you indeed finding it to be a more prevalent question within your clientele of recent note, or what? I'm sure, you know, just because I guess too, a little uptick in life and all of that. But is it predominantly the old adages like keeping up with the Joneses? Not in every instance, of course, but is it career oriented, a real loop for, you know, most individuals? Is that one of the main areas of being caught in that cycle of AB, more career predominantly, or not necessarily just that?
Not necessarily. Like I said, at the start, the Z can be anything. So I'm guessing if someone's really career minded or career motivated, their Zs are going to be their Zs are going to be more career defined, I guess, or definable, as opposed to someone who doesn't really have a career in the forefront of the mind, and that person's able to be a bit more flexible. But it's, I think, like I just had a client today where I brought this up, and she said, I spoke about the ABZ mindset, and she said that, well, she doesn't think she has the Z mindset because she's not material. She cares about just like nature. She wants to be in nature. And I said, oh, that's fine. But what you're making clear is that your Z's different to someone else. But it sounds like you still have the Z mindset, and you're just saying you need to live in nature to be happy. That's your target. But your efforts to get that target are probably counterproductive, because you can get your current target, you can be happy for a while, but then you'll be looking for another target, because your current target isn't going to be enough to satisfy your consistent happiness needs or your rule for happiness.
That's a superb observation. I love that, especially as the layperson. That's an excellent observation. Kudos to yourself. Now, is this indeed a major portion of your aforementioned book?
Well, it's not a major portion.
It's mentioned within.
It's mentioned a couple of times. It's mentioned a couple of times. Yeah, because it is my book does revolve around certain themes, and happiness is one of those themes. And so this A, B, and Z mindset is a shortcut to happiness.
When is the targeted release date, or it's targeted when it's ready?
Yeah, I guess when it's ready. Yeah, I'm still.
And you'll know. You'll know for sure.
Yeah, hopefully soon. Hopefully soon. But I'm just using it now to, as it's almost completed. When I use it now when I finish with a client, I use it to just like a gift to them, just to.
So do you actually have a cover for it when it's ready to be released, or is that part of your process as well?
I've got a cover in my mind.
Yeah,
I've got a cover in my mind. But to be honest, I was thinking about introducing a new idea, and if I do introduce this new idea, the title is going to change, because right now it's called Algorithm, and if I incorporate this new idea, that title might not make as much sense as another title. So I'll see. I might just finish this, publish it, and then with the new idea, start another book. I'll see.
I love that. When you're ready to do so, for sure, keep us posted on that, because we'll use
the
video.
I will
do. Oh, we'll definitely use the video display board and so forth, you know, when you get to that point. So I didn't want to break your train of thought too much. So I think that's my only immediate question. If you wanted to expand, if you wanted to, you know, continue and expand upon it.
Okay. Well, why don't I talk to the questions that you sent?
That'd
be
great.
How many questions are there? Okay. So yeah, it's a few. So, okay. So the first one is the evolution of the A, B, and Z mindsets. You said in your previous appearances on the BH Sales Kennel Kelp healing now. How are you? Discussed the A and B mindsets. Can you share how these concepts have evolved in your thinking and practice? So, like I said, it's evolved in a major way, because this is me formalizing ideas that have been floating around in my head for ages. So these ideas have floated around in my head in ages. I thought, okay, well, how would I simplify them, and how would I present them to other people? And the APZ mindset is the result of that. And I also wanted a way of describing happiness without necessarily referring to the baby theory. And this like that. You don't have to talk about the baby theory, but I can use this idea to extend the baby theory, because you can say, if you have the Z mindset and you're unhappy, that I need Z to be happy, the baby theory is the thing that kicks in when you attempt to get the Z by resorting to the thing that you used to do when you were a baby, as in you felt bad to get the Z, because when you were growing up, when you wanted something or when you thought you needed something and you didn't get it, you'd feel bad, and then someone would magically appear and give it to you, and then so you would think that you had that power to meet your desire just by feeling bad. And that's what's activated when we have a Z mindset. Still, we have a Z mindset, and we don't have the Z, then that's when the baby theory kicks in.
Real quickly for my audience, we did that real early when, by speaking of anniversary, but refresh the old man's memory. Didn't we talk about the baby theory like maybe as early as the very second interview?
It was the first one.
The first one. So there you go. Thank you, Byron, for keeping the old man straight. Yeah. So do check out that archival one if you haven't had the opportunity to do so, because I know we did talk about it pretty extensively in that episode. Yeah.
Continue. Okay, well, I can recap here for just in case.
Yeah, if you want. Yeah, please do. You take
okay.
the ship.
All right, so the baby theory tries to explain why we have negative emotions. And I recently realized as well that most of the other theories that are doing the rounds, they're mainly Freudian theories. So I think most of the theories that people say about why we have bad emotions or we need them, they're vital part of our experience, they're mainly Freudian, I think. And I think it's interesting that Freud's ideas, a lot of Freud's ideas now have been largely discredited.
Correct.
But interesting that people are still holding firm to his theory of emotions. So that's I think that's interesting. So, okay, so the baby theory explains why we have bad emotions, and that is we feel bad only because that was the way we got our needs met when we were babies. So when we were really, really small babies, when a need wasn't being met, so we were hungry, or when the temperature wasn't ideal, that would naturally feel bad. We would then express that bad feeling, and someone would come along and then identify the need that wasn't being met, meet it, and that would return us to a state of balance or equilibrium again. So we needed that process to ensure that our needs were met as quickly as possible, because there was no other way of communication. There was no other way of saying, oh, I'm in need, can someone do something? We had to crudely express the fact that there was an unmet need by sending us a distress signal, i.e. feeling bad and then crying. Then a caregiver or someone close would attend to us, identify the need that's not being met, meet it, and that would, like I said, return us to equilibrium again. So that's how we got our needs met. Then when desires are introduced to our experience, we now know that bad feelings get results, so we adapt the process, or we amend the process slightly, so that we use that unmet need process to meet our unmet desires. So when there's an unmet need, there's a naturally occurring bad sensation. So we don't have to do anything to feel cold except just be in a cold environment. Our senses will reflect the less than ideal temperature, and that doesn't feel good. So when we're hungry, it's the same thing. We don't have to do anything except notice that we're hungry, then report. So when we have an unmet need, there's an naturally occurring bad sensation, but when there's an unmet desire, because there isn't a naturally occurring bad sensation, we have to create one, and that's the first time we had a bad emotion, because before then it was just bad sensation and good sensation. But when we have desires, then we have good emotions when our desires are met and bad emotions when our desires are not met. And because there was a very usually or hopefully swift response to a bad emotion, which ideally will lead to us getting the thing that we're feeling bad about over and over again, that process is just reinforced. And so we are then left with this program that means if you want something, feeling bad is an effective way of getting it when we're really, really young. And we were never taught that that's all you're doing. So we continue doing it. We continue to let that program run in the background. And instead of being taught that that's what we're doing, instead of being taught that that's how we're using our bad emotions, we're taught these fake, mainly Freudian reasons for the existence of bad emotions. So, yeah, that's the baby fairy in a nutshell.
So you're saying that there's some in the populace, regardless of their chronology, they're big, older babies. Still, I tease a little bit. I tease just a little bit.
Well, yeah, that's actually precisely what I'm saying. And that's one of the reasons why some people don't like this idea, because they think, oh, I'm not a baby. I'm not that. Maybe that's true for a baby, but adults are not. It's a subconscious process. We don't know where
that really all humor aside, or my attempt at humor, all humor aside, it really is a conditioned, another maybe conditioned thought that, you know, we just kind of not cognizantly in the conscious mind think of it, but it's definitely there in the subconscious.
Exactly. Deeply embedded subconscious process. In fact,
yep.
Possibly our oldest subconscious process.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
We have plenty of time. We have plenty of time if you wanted to, you know, continue on your book or any other topic or continue on this one.
Okay.
We have
okay.
plenty of time. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I can continue on answering a question. So, because I started
talking. Yeah,
okay,
I actually forgot how many questions that I did send you. So continue.
Yeah. Okay. So, the next question was the real world examples. Can you, listeners often connect with relatable scenarios. Can you provide some concrete examples of how the A, B, and Z mindsets manifest in everyday life? Perhaps a situation a listener might encounter with their pet or in their professional life. Just simple. Like I said, every single time you feel bad, you're feeling bad because you have some sort of version of, I need Z to feel good.
Correct.
And you don't have Z. So the natural response, the logical response even, is to feel bad, because that is your rule for happiness. So this caters for every single bad emotion, every single one. So, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't want things, that's absolutely fine. But to say that we need something and then to make ourselves feel bad because we need something, that isn't the most productive or resourceful way to go about getting that thing. Because if you're too busy making yourself feel bad about getting that thing, you're not thinking about, okay, well, what can I practically do to attain this thing? What actions do I have open to me? Like, what? How can I be pragmatic about this? Or maybe I just have to accept that I'm not going to get this thing, which is fine sometimes too. You don't have to get your desires met every single time.
That might indeed be the hurdle right there to realize that, hey, maybe I just won't get whatever
exactly.
A, B, A. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but so maybe I didn't really expand on the whole like A, B thing as much. So, okay. So when I described the A, B and Z mindsets, some of my clients, I've said, okay, so what would be a reliable A for you? What could you base your happiness on that's going to be there no matter what? And some clients have said, oh, how about health? I said, well, no, because I think a lot of people, their health isn't as good as they want it to be. So health would be, if you did have good health, then yeah, great. But health definitely isn't a good thing to label as an A. So yeah, usually this involves like for a kind of a fairly long conversation until the client realizes that they could substitute or label their life as A. So
correct.
as long as you're alive, you could be happy. And I'm guessing some people might be offended at that idea, like, because surely life isn't enough. But then consider someone who pretty much has nothing. They're completely like, I don't know, someone in a third world country who is happy all, if not most of the time, despite their comparatively dire circumstance. They're happy. So what are they basing their happiness on? And could we not base our happiness on that same thing as well? Yeah, we could, but we sometimes choose not to because we've taken that thing for granted. So that thing is the A to Y whilst we entertain the Z mindset, but it doesn't have to be. It could be an A.
They could be the proverbial, they could also be the beacons, if you will, if they can, you know, like you say, if it does indeed happen to be a third world environment, just as an example, if they can go through whatever kind of oppression or suppression or whatever and still somewhat be happy within maintaining that, I don't know, maybe they're the beacon for the rest of us that might be struggling with whatever our ABs are.
Yeah, exactly. So A, if the A has been nominated and it's a compatible A, then you are going to be happy the entire time, because A is the almost it's the default thing. It's the thing that's going to be there the entire time. So that means your happiness is going to be there the entire time, because that's what your happiness is based on. So it's the Z. That's what we need to watch. So if we catch ourselves in that Z mindset, so I need Z to be happy, it's a case of, well, I think I want something else to be happier, but that's not what my happiness is based on. So if you don't get it, then fine, because you're happy already. If you do get it, then great, you're going to be happier, but you definitely don't need it. It's just something you want. It's a nice bonus. It's a nice bonus. Challenges and counter arguments. But AB mindset emphasizes gratitude for what we have. What about situations where external factors genuinely create hardship? How can we navigate these challenges while maintaining a positive outlook? Well, okay, I suppose I should make a slight distinction here. You say that AB mindset emphasizes gratitude for what we have. I think gratitude and happiness are two different things. You can have gratitude for something, but not necessarily be happy about it. So
I think I can see that, but please continue on that. Continue.
So in the same way, you can appreciate something, but you might not necessarily be happy about it. You can just kind of appreciate it or accept it. So that AB mindset, it makes it clear that if you have a more sensible rule for happiness, you're going to be happy the whole time. So what about situations where external factors genuinely create hardship? Well, yeah, fair enough. Okay, so we are going to experience hardships. More than likely, we're going to experience hardships. But being unhappy at those hardships, although understandable, that's not the best way to deal with those hardships, bearing in mind our unhappiness or our bad feeling is our best shot in dealing with the hardship. And that's not the case, because when you feel bad, we're going to not deal with that hardship as easily, because now we have to deal with the hardship and our bad feelings at the same time. So the AB mindset means that you're going to, I think I said this earlier when I listed the reasons why the Z mindset was healthier. The AB mindset means that we're going to see less hardships and we're going to be able to overcome them easier. The Z mindset, we're probably going to perceive more hardships and we're not going to overcome those hardships as easy because of what we've done with our minds and our resources. So, okay, long-term goals and AB mindset. So sometimes achieving specific goals, Z, can be a source of motivation and fulfillment. Can you explore how the AB mindset can coexist with setting and striving for long-term goals? Yeah, of course. So again, the AB mindset is still having a desire. It's still having a goal, but it's framing that goal in a more sensible and productive and effective way. So the AB mindset doesn't mean that you're not going to have goals and you're not going to strive. You're not going to want things to be different. It's just going about it in a more productive and healthy and effective way. Because if you go about in that Z mindset way, you're lying to yourself in a number of different ways. First of all, saying that you need that thing to be fulfilled, because again, need isn't really compatible with fulfillment. Not in a strict sense. So we can happily have just the AB mindset, and that wouldn't make any difference to all the long-term goals and the striving and the contentment, rewarding. It's all the same. But like I said, the main difference is with the AB mindset, you're much more likely to act in a way that will lead to fulfillment, as opposed to if you got the Z mindset, you might be temporary or consistently, permanently fulfilled. Whereas if you had the Z mindset, you might be fulfilled temporarily.
Correct.
But then you might get bored, you might get complacent, and then you might need something else to be fulfilled by. And again, that's not sustainable. So, okay, so I think those are the questions that you posed. Do you have any more questions or any?
I kind of framed a couple in the description today, and it's kind of to everybody, but we can kind of hone it into yourself as well, I guess. So I'm just going to read them verbatim, and there's only two of them. And I think you might have even addressed these, but let me throw them out there because they might be framed just a tad differently. So here they are.
Okay.
What brings you, as yourself, as Byron, unexpected bursts of joy, if you care to exchange that? And are there little things in your daily life that spark happiness? And if you care to share those experiences as an inspiration to others, I would assume your practice for 30 plus years obviously inspires you each and every. So did you want to answer that one first, and then I'll ask you the second one? Or
yeah, sure. Okay, so what brings me unexpected bursts of joy? Anything can, because I believe I usually inhabit that AB mindset. So yep. bees can be anything. I can just think about something in a slightly different way. I can come up with I think I do have a fairly risque sense of humor, so sometimes I do play around with certain ideas. So yeah, anything can give me unexpected bursts of joy, because I think joy is just almost infinitely attainable if we adjust our filters and let it in.
You know, when you open up that many avenues just by that statement for the possibilities of joy to seep in, it's wonderful, because you're going to usurp more sources to give it to you. So I think that's great. So I got one more quick one. If you want to, and this is for the people to think about it too. If you guys and gals out in the audience, as we've said before here at the show, you know, do let us know at the voicemail message here at the board at the shows, and then Byron, and he'll reinforce that momentarily. He said before, by all means, reach out to himself. So let me get the second question out. We got about 5 minutes left. So it is. Have you, and that can be, you know, Byron or yourselves in the audience, if you will, have you ever caught yourself in the Z mindset? I think we all could probably say yes to that, but
definitely.
And then a caveat to it a little bit is, was there or is there a time when you feel or felt happiness hinged on achieving a specific goal? And then whatever alternative perspectives, I think you covered those within the show. So if that question makes any sense, go ahead and expand upon it.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. So I do, even though I know about the AD mindset and the Z mindset, I still sometimes catch myself in that Z mindset because it's so deeply entrenched. It's so deeply embedded. I think I spoke about the genie lamp analogy a couple of
Thank you for refreshing us on that. Yes.
Yeah. So that's when we rub the genie lamp analogy that I'll quickly, if I have time to go to summarize it. The genie lamp analogy is, when we feel bad, we're feeling bad because when we were much younger, it's almost like we had a genie lamp. So any wish we had that we thought that we wasn't getting, we would take out this metaphorical genie lamp, we would rub it, and that rubbing it would cause discomfort, and that would prompt a genie to appear who would grant our wish. And when we were babies, there was only like a small scope of wishes. So any wish we had at that stage, our caregivers or adults could grant them immediately. Like we just want it to be picked up, or we just want it to be like moved or given something. So, so our genies were very reliable at first, but the older we get, the wider our wish, the scope of our wishes became, the less reliable the genie became, until it comes to a point where the genie just moves out. So the lamp is now broken. The lamp's not broken, but we still rub it, which means we're definitely going to get the discomfort, but we're not going to get our wish met. And so I still rub the lamp. It's because it's deeply entrenched. So the fact I rub the lamp proves that I still have that Z mindset, because I'm trying to rub the lamp to get that Z. So if I'm still rubbing the lamp, and I've been thinking this for around 31 years, I'm fairly certain other people are going to, I'll guarantee you, because this is like a new idea that I'm sharing. And it's a shame sometimes when I share these ideas and people beat themselves up over having a Z mindset or running a lamp. And I say, well, no, I still do it. You're definitely going to do it, because I know where these ideas come from. I'm like cultivating them. And if I'm going to do it, you're definitely going to do it, I think.
Byron, let me just interject one thing really quickly. And for whom ever in the audience, I just want to acknowledge I am seeing an attempted raise of a hand on the board. My apologies. The equipment is not allowing me to negotiate your call-in number. If you're hearing me say this, quickly feel free to reach out at the voicemail message board. And before Byron signs off, he'll refresh us on how to contact him directly. If you are hearing me, Mr. or Mrs., I do see your hand raised. The equipment's not allowing me to negotiate getting you on to ask your specific question. So do feel free to leave a message at the message board. And before Byron checks out, he'll tell you how to do the same to himself. Sorry for the interruption, Byron. We got about 2 minutes left. If you want to continue closing out, please do so.
Okay. Well, and it's a shame that person wasn't able to ask the question. It would have been good to hear it and hopefully answer it. But if anyone wants to contact me, then go to my website, www.byronaffine.com, or you could just email me directly, byronaffine@gmail.com.
Thank you, Byron. And I think that individual did disengage. So hopefully all in good. And you know, we may hear from him or her. So if I do that first, and likewise, I know you will, we'll definitely address whatever it was. And for future reference, do call in like that, and we'll take care of all the nice little technical things and make sure that the people get involved. So, Byron, I'm going to let yourself go. We're down to about 45 seconds, and I'll have this for yourself post-production in about a half an hour. And, Byron, are we going to be blessed to see you at the end of April two times, or do you want to hold off till the end of May? Understandable in both cases.
We might as well wait until May.
Okay, no problem. And we'll be excited at that time, whatever the topic may be at that time. I'll let everyone know via Prelude Show coming up on that. Thanks, everyone. And thanks for being patient, everyone, over the last couple of weeks, a couple of technical glitches, including the one with our call-in guests. But don't let that scare us away. That's the outside forces We never let them totally succeed. We'll say bye-bye for now. We'll see you all tomorrow. May God bless.
Bye,
peace,
guys.
Everybody. Thank you. Bye-bye for now.